Amen. You may be seated. And we'll go right to work. If you would, turn your Bibles with me to Romans, the 11th chapter. Romans, the 11th chapter. We'll look at particularly verse 6. I want you to realize, and I want you to have an expectation that life is getting easier. One of the things that you can expect from this transition from the pastoral model of the church to the apostolic model of church is that life gets easier. Now, do I have biblical proof about that? I have biblical proof. If Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, redemption, or the word redeemed means to be put back in a formal position. If we are put back in a formal position in which we are, the position that Adam and Eve was in, then we look at Adam and Eve's life before they ate off the tree, and you can see how your life's supposed to be. All right? So you can see how your life is supposed to be. Now, in understanding that, I want to read this scripture in the 6th verse. It says, "And if by grace, then it is no more of works. Otherwise, grace is no more grace. But if it be of works, then it is no more grace. Otherwise, work is no more work." All right, so what the Apostle Paul is saying is that our lives should be lived through faith and grace. Yes. The Bible says the just shall live by faith. And here the Apostle Paul is also telling us that it should be by grace also. So we have to combine the two, faith and grace. Faith is knowing what to do and having confidence in who gave you the instructions. And grace just shows how easy it's going to be. Because grace is empowering. We like to use the word favor in exchange for grace sometimes, or special treatment. What that simply means is that your life should look like you're being treated special. Now, some of y'all say, "Well, my life don't look like it's so special." Well, that could be your perspective, because this world system is built on competition. This world system is built on competition. So when you begin to look outside of your life for a comparison to if your life is special or not, you're going to get confused, and your view and your perception is going to get skewed. Because when you're talking about special treatment, you need to be thinking about how I was in the past and how I am now. You shouldn't be looking at anybody else. So when you don't look at anybody else, you can realize that God has been favoring you. See, if you have progressed, progress compared to who? Yourself. Where I was last year or a couple of years ago, I'm not there no more. That's God favoring you. Are you seeing this? So, in dealing with this grace and faith, you must stop using your energy to perfect your life. See, the apostolic model of the church is going to take the focus off of you. Uh-huh. So therefore, you are no longer using the scriptures to better your life. Come on. You're no longer using the scriptures to improve your life.
Right.
2 Timothy.
Yes,
sir. 2 Timothy 2. I'm talking slow, I'm moving slow because the Holy Spirit gave me a list of scriptures. I'm trying to see what he wants to do. So 2 Timothy 2:15. Watch this. 2 Timothy 2:15. The Apostle Paul is talking to Timothy and he's telling Timothy to study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needed not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. So the word of God is not, watch this, you shouldn't study the word of God to make your life better. You study the word of God so that you could be a better workman for him. Because if I can figure out how to be a better workman for him, everything else. Are you seeing this?
Yes.
So when I study the word of God, I'm aiming to find out how God wants to use me. Yes. It's already a given fact that he wants to use you.
Right.
Because before the foundation of the world, he had already planned for you. I know the thoughts that I think towards you. Thoughts of peace, not of evil, to give you an expected end. So when I study the word of God and when I spend time with God, I'm not trying to improve my life.
Right.
I'm trying to release what he has already put in me.
That's good.
Go to Philippians 2. See, that's the difference between the pastoral model of the church and the apostolic model of the church. Is the pastoral is trying to get you to focus on you and how you can solve your problems.
Yeah.
See, think about it. All the messages that we have heard in the past has been focused on us. And a lot of times we would only go to God when we wanted something. We were taught faith from a self-centric point of view. My faith brings this in. My faith causes this to come in. My faith does this. When in actuality, my faith does one thing. It brings the dreams of God to pass. And because I bring the dreams of God to pass, all these things shall be added to me.
Yeah.
Are you seeing this? See, this shift from the pastoral model of the church to the apostolic model of the church is going to make your life a whole lot simpler and easier, because it's not going to be about points 1, 2, and 3 or step A, B, and C. It's going to be simply me hearing the voice of God and following his instructions.
Right. Yes,
sir. See, it's not going to be being required me trying to work this thing out.
Yes.
Matter of fact, we're about to read it now. Watch this. Philippians, I told you Philippians 2, right? Let me get there. Philippians 2, verse 13. It says, for it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. That word worketh really means it is God that wants to express himself through you. So this is not the same work that the Apostle Paul was talking to us in Romans, the 11th chapter, that 6th verse. So it says not by works. But this is God wanting to express himself through you.
Right?
So that means we can go to verse right above that. He says, wherefore, my beloved, verse 12, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, what it says? Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. So we got to apply the understanding of that word worketh in the 13th verse to the 12th verse. So we can say it like this. We must allow God to express himself through us. We must allow God to express himself through us. That's what it means to work out your own salvation. Now, watch what the pastoral motto do to you. When you think about, look at that word salvation, you're thinking about that you're being saved from something. Right? Mm-hmm. But salvation is much more than that.
Yes, sir.
Salvation not only saved you from something, but it has put you somewhere else.
Yes.
It has redeemed you. See, we just look at that word, work out your own salvation. What it's really saying is let God express himself through you so he can accomplish with you what he's already planned to accomplish with you.
Right, right.
That word salvation is deliverance,
yes, right.
Preservation,
yes.
And safety. Deliverance from what? Sin. Let's work with this. Deliverance from sin. Preserve you from sin.
Yes.
Right?
Yes, sir.
And protect you. Safety.
Yes, sir.
From sin. Because what's the ultimate problem with sin? It's separation from God.
That's right.
Sin separates you from God. So now, when I have been delivered, preserved, and protected, I have not been delivered, preserved, and protected just for the sake of being delivered,
uh-huh.
Preserved, and protected.
Come on.
I'm being preserved to accomplish something that I was already destined to accomplish.
Yes.
And the reason it may seem like I'm talking in generalities when I say when I've been delivered to accomplish something, it's not my job to figure out what your something is.
Right.
See this? Come with me now. It's not the pulpit's job to figure out what your something is.
That's right.
See, it's not the pulpit's job to figure out what God won't do with you.
That's right.
A pastor is supposed to recognize what God has called you to do. And watch this. Give you opportunities to put it in play. You got to know what you called to do. It's not man's job to call you.
No.
God has called you.
Yeah.
And see, that's one of the things we have to shift out of the pastoral model into the apostolic model. It is not the fivefold job to show you what God wants to do with you.
That's right.
It's to show you the plan so you can see where you fit. Because
yes.
You know where you fit.
Yes.
Example, Jesus borrowed Peter's ship. After he finished with Peter's ship, he told him to launch out into the deep, cast your net, you're going to catch some fish. Peter said, you know, Jesus, we done fished all night, we ain't caught nothing, but nevertheless, at that word, we'll let down the net, right? So, when he let down the net, fill a boat up with fish, call his partners to help him because they had so much fish. When Peter got back to shore, the Bible says he fell on his knees.
That's right.
He recognized
yes.
What he was supposed to be doing.
Right.
And he was willing to submit himself to somebody to train him.
Yes.
Do you see this?
Yes.
And did Peter go through some training?
Yes.
Peter went through some training, man. Matter of fact, Peter was the only one Jesus went looking for when he got out the grave. Because he knew Peter, he told Peter, you're going to deny me three times.
That's right.
Before the cock crow twice. And so he went looking for Peter as training. Why was he training him? So that Peter can do what God had called him to do. That's why we're here.
Yes.
We're here to be trained so that we can do what God has called us to do. See, so there's this word, this working out your, and that's what the Apostle Paul say, working out your own salvation. When Jesus died, he died for your salvation. Now, when he died for your salvation, that, watch this, you still had to receive it. Once you receive it, now you have to let God express himself through you. That's what it means to work out your own salvation. It's not talking about you putting forth effort to be righteous. It's not you putting forth to do what you think God has called you to do. It's for you to allow God to express himself through you. To allow God to use you in significant ways. Whether you know it or not, God wants to use you in significant ways to affect people's lives that will not be affected only if you and when you're in your right place doing what God called you to do. See, God will put you in the right place at the right time to minister to a person that they won't hear nobody else. And you have to be open to that. You have to be open to that. And so Satan using the pastoral model has caused us to take the focus off of God being expressed in and through us to want God to focus just on us. And so we become self-centered, and therefore that's why the church can't be built. Because we're not doing the work of the ministry. Are we not letting God express himself through us? See, this is why the Salvation Reformation is so important. That's just the beginning. I want y'all to know that is just the beginning.
Right.
Us witnessing is just the beginning. I haven't even got a chance to get to it, but man, listen. God expect the working of miracles to flow through you. God is expecting you to lay hands on the sick and they recover. God expects you to lay hands on somebody who's crippled and their ankles and their bones receive strength. But that can't happen if we don't understand that's what God wants to do. And if we stay in this pastoral model, then it's going to be us trying to get ourselves healed, trying to get ourselves wealthy, trying to get ourselves this, and missing the whole point about what God wants to do.
Yeah.
Are you seeing this?
Yes, sir.
Go with me to Galatians. Galatians 3. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Galatians 3. Galatians 3:13. Let me look at verse 9. Let's start at verse 9. So then they which be of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham. For as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse. For it is written, cursed is everyone that contend not in the things which are written in the book of the law to do them. But that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God, it is evident, for the just shall live by
faith.
Now, what you must understand is the law, the law is faith before Jesus died.
That's right.
Hear me. The law is faith before Jesus died. But since Jesus died, Faith is now the word of God, the rhema. So that means, watch this. I don't have to focus, I don't have to focus on trying to keep the law. I need to focus on hearing his voice. Because when I hear his voice, I'm automatically keeping the law. So the pastoral model has fooled us almost backwards into self-righteousness. And trying to hide the label of self-righteousness. But it's all about me. What God can do for me. I get mad if I'm in the hospital and pastor don't come see me. Now, why do I get upset? Because I think a pastor has the power. I think pastor has the power. When all along, I've been supposed to be in church learning about this power that I have within me. I get upset when a pastor don't show up when I invite him somewhere. Or when I call, he don't return my call right away. See, that pastoral model had us being babysat. And robbing us of who we really are. And what we're capable of. The Holy Spirit is living in each and every one of us. The same Spirit. Now, wait a minute. Watch this. How can we have the same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead dwells in us, but we're looking for somebody else? Watch this. There's a reason for that. The reason is because we haven't allowed our awareness or our consciousness to be developed to that Spirit that is on the inside of us. Are you seeing this? So the same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead dwells in us. Let's continue reading. Watch this. Verse 12, and the law is not of faith, but the man that doeth them shall live in them. Verse 13, Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on the tree. Why? That the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of Spirit, of the Spirit, through what?
Faith.
Through faith. That we might receive. Exactly, you might not.
Right.
Now, why is the might not? Because the blessing of Abraham comes through, watch this, being connected to the agenda of God. I tell people all the time, they get God messed up. They get God confused. And the way I get people unconfused about who God really is just take them back to the beginning. See, God is a loving God, but he's not a compromising God.
Right.
He's a loving God, but he's not compromising. Man, listen, I tell people all the time, don't get mad when people walk out of your life. Don't get mad. Don't get upset when people walk out of your life. Man, I don't get upset at all. I don't get offended. None of that. And the reason why I don't, the Lord spoke to me years ago and said, if I can let my first two creations go, I can let anybody go. See, God is not a compromising God. He's a loving God, but he's not compromising. See, people don't realize God has eternity.
Yes.
God will sit and wait till he get a group of people that's willing to do it the way he wants it done.
Yes.
He's not going to compromise. Man, Adam and Eve, he told him, don't eat out of the tree. God said, okay. You can't stay here like this. You got to go on. I got to let you go. Because you're going to eat off the tree and live forever and just mess things up worse. I can't do that. So that is where, watch this. That is where the work that we are most familiar with comes from. Because there was a supernatural work that was already established. The supernatural work that was already established, he told Adam to dress and keep the garden. Watch this. Watch supernatural work. Dress and keep the garden and let me train you. Keep the garden, dress it, and I'm going to come visit you every day and train you. How I know that? Because when the moment that they ate off the tree, the Bible says they hid themselves. They hid themselves. God was coming look for them. Amazing. If Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us, that means we were put back in a former position. So if God was going look for Adam and Eve, because Christ died, that means he's coming look for us. So the question is, are you hiding yourself? Are you hiding yourself? How do you hide? You hide yourself under the law. I'm going to use the word of God to get what I want done. I'm going to use the word of God to get this straight. When God is coming to look for you so that he can show you how he wants to express himself through you. And once you allow him to express himself through you, everything else around you got to line up to what's being expressed through you.
Yes,
sir. Is this making sense?
Yes,
sir. See, the first objective of you being here is to do what God has called you to do. That's the first objective. And Satan's first objective is to keep you distracted. So he'll try to put you in survival mode. So he'll even take the word of God and confuse the word of God and twist the word of God to where now we were taught messages that will try to get us how we can work the word of God instead of letting the word of God work us. Life is getting easier. Whether you know it or not, your life is getting easier. Because now it's about God expressing himself through you. It's about you allowing God to use you. Wherever you're at, on your job, throughout your day, allowing God to use you. When you allow God to use you and be expressed through you, that's when everything else starts to line up. See, we've been trying to skip the process of allowing God to be expressed through us and trying to use him to line everything up in our lives. And that's because of confusion. And so Satan don't mind that confusion. Because all he got to do is keep throwing monkey wrenches. And you're going to keep trying to use the word to solve that problem. Keep using the word of God to solve that problem instead of let the word of God work on you. Do you know when Peter them reached for that man in Acts, the third chapter, he said, silver and gold have I none, but such I have, rise in the name of Jesus.
Right.
Do you know Peter wasn't just using the phrase, the name of Jesus? Peter was actually saying, I'm standing here in the character of Jesus.
Yes.
Can I prove it? Yeah, I can prove it. Few chapters over, you had the seven sons of Sceva.
That's right.
Tried to go cast some demons out and say, I come. By the God that Paul, through Paul and through Jesus.
Right.
And them devils whipped them seven sons of Sceva out there because they say, Jesus we know. And Paul we know. What that means? That means that Paul had the same character as Jesus. So that means it's possible for me to have the same character as Jesus and carry the same weight as Jesus if I allow him to express himself through me. So if I allow him to express himself through me, that's when all these things will be added to me. So it's not about me trying to take the word of God and make something happen. It's me studying to show myself approved, a workman, rightly dividing the word of truth, rightly dividing what God has told me to do. I have clear direction on what God has told me to do. And when I don't have clear direction, I know where to go to get clear direction. Is this making sense?
Yes,
sir. See, the pastoral model, once again, the pastoral model has caused us to be self-centered, self-focused, trying to use the word of God to solve our problems. And when you improperly are using the word of God, trying to solve your problem, yeah, we got some victories. You know where them victories came from? The victories came from the mercy of God. It came from the mercy of God. The Bible says his mercies. So the mercy of God. But I don't want to keep operating off his mercy. Because then there's grace. That means I am empowered to do more. I'm empowered to do better. I'm empowered to do what God has called me to do. John the 14th chapter. Turn now. John the 14th chapter. I want you to realize we read these scriptures, but we've been reading them. I keep using these phrases, but I hope you understand. We keep you reading these scriptures from a pastoral model. Like we read this scripture we're about to read from a pastoral model. But when you read it, as we're reading tonight, learning it from an apostolic standpoint, from an apostolic point of view, this scripture will come alive to you. Because now it's going, if Paul can have the same character as Jesus, that means I can have the same character as Jesus. So therefore, when I look in this 12th verse, 14 and 12, watch this, John 14 and 12. For verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, Jesus is talking, shall he do also. And greater works than these shall he do. Why? Because Jesus went to the Father. So Jesus went to the Father, and because he went to the Father, I, in this present moment, can do the same works that Jesus was doing. So that means we should be reading the gospel in awe. We should be reading the gospel as a training manual.
Amen.
As the things that we are capable of doing.
Right.
We should be reading the gospels as a training manual teaching us. That is why Jesus gave gifts unto men.
That's right.
So that you could be trained to do the works that Jesus did. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Run reference over the life of Jesus. We've all read the Gospels. Look at Jesus' life. Jesus, everything that Jesus did to accomplish the agenda of God.
That's right.
Now, have you ever seen Jesus ask for something personal? I just want to take that in. I want you to take that in. I want you to take that in. Jesus, now, that means when you do the works, your stuff taken care of. When you do the works, your stuff is taken care of. Matter of fact, let's go to the sixth chapter. I want you to see something. Go to the sixth chapter of Matthew's. I want you to see. Now we understand. Now we about to, God dog it, we about to see this now. Watch this. Watch this. Watch this. Watch this. Matthew 6. Watch this. Matthew 6. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Watch this. Matthew 6. Watch this. Matthew, the 6th chapter. Let me get to it. All right, verse 25. Therefore, Jesus talking now. Therefore, I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat or what you shall drink, nor yet for your body what you shall put on. Is not life more than meat, and the body than raiment? All right. Behold, he give an example. Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor they gather in the barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are you not much better than they? Are you seeing this?
Yes, sir.
Verse 27, Jesus going further. Which of you by taking thought can add one cubit unto his stature? And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow, they toil not. They toil not. That means they not trying to put forth no unnecessary effort. Neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon, all his glory, was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothed the grass of the field, which today is, and tomorrow is cast in the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little assignment? So if you don't know what God has called you to do, then you're going to be toiling. So if that's the case, listen to me. If that's the case, then I need to take my efforts and stop trying to work the word of God and take my efforts and let the word of God work me. What it means by letting the word of God work you? Spending time with God and God revealing to you what he has called you to do. So instead of me going, ask God, God, I want this. I need to take that same energy, that same effort, and say, God, what do you want? Are you seeing this? See, the pastoral model had us going to God and asking God for stuff. The words money cometh are prophetic.
Yes, they are.
And the reason why they were prophetic is because that's the office we were familiar with. But the words money cometh were first apostolic.
Right. Yes.
Let me explain it. The words money cometh with apostolic, because you must understand what an apostle does. It structures heaven and earth government so that the portals of the supernatural can be opened, so all those connected can enter in and benefit. In other words, it structures government, divine order. Money cometh was sent to restructure how we saw money.
Yes.
It was sent so it can restructure how we handle money.
Right.
How we treat money. See, all before, it was based on effort. How much can you work? What kind of degree you have? What the world system say you're valued at? But it was God that gave us the seed.
Right?
But the pastoral model messed it up. Because the very first people that was supposed to get the seed straight was the fivefold.
Right.
Because the fivefold can't tell us what to do unless they doing what they telling us to do.
Right.
So you had a bunch of preachers that was playing games and messing the system up. So money coming come along to straighten all them out first.
Yeah.
Come on.
straighten all them out first. Then once they get straightened out, we start teaching it properly. Now the people that the fivefold was sent to mature can operate properly.
Right.
Are you seeing this?
Yes.
That's why Matthew 6 can make so much sense, because we're seeing it from an apostolic point of view. See, you should have never been taught to use faith to go get stuff. Come on with me now. Come on with me. All right, go to Hebrews 11. Hebrew 11. See, I need you to come out of the pastoral model.
Yes, sir. Yes.
I need you to come out of the pastoral model. The objective of your faith is not to produce stuff for you. But that's what we were taught. Because that's where we were at.
That's good.
That's right.
But at some point, we got to mature beyond that.
Uh-huh.
And get back to the original plans of God. Watch with Hebrews 11. Hebrews 11 and 1. Watch what it says. It says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for. Something hoped for, something dreamed about, something planned. It says faith is the stuff that makes up dreams. Watch this. Watch the last part of verse 8. And the evidence of things not seen. What the Apostle Paul is telling us in this first verse is that our faith first objective is to bring some dreams to pass. And once we bring the dreams to pass, then it will show up everything else.
Yes, sir.
So the question is, watch this. Let's prove this once for all. That word hope is not talking about your hope. It's not talking about what you hope for. Unless what you're hoping for is the same thing God is hoping for. If what you're hoping for is the same thing what God is hoping for, then it's talking about your hope in that first verse. But if not, it ain't talking about you.
All right.
Verse 6. It says, but without faith, it's impossible to please God. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them diligently. That reminds me of Philippians 2 and 12. Work out your own salvation.
Amen.
Those that diligently seek him.
Mm-hmm.
What it means to diligently seek him? That means I'm using my energy and my efforts to spend time with God to find out what he wants.
Yes.
I'm not trying to usurp God's ability and his power to get what I want.
Right.
My goal is to bring God's dreams to pass.
Yes.
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 Me hearing what God wants to do with me, understanding it, and being able to walk it out is the substance of the dreams of God.
Yeah.
I am responsible. Listen, watch how powerful you are. I am responsible from making supernatural become natural.
Yeah.
I am responsible from making the supernatural become natural.
Yeah.
Otherwise, I'm responsible from taking God's dreams and bringing them to reality. Can you imagine? Just think about it. You're responsible for bringing God's dreams to pass. That's why Jesus became flesh, so that he can bring God's dreams to pass. Jesus couldn't stay in the supernatural and do that. He had to become flesh. He had to become natural.
Right.
a natural person that becomes supernatural by obeying God's voice. A natural person becomes supernatural by obeying God's voice. When you obey God's voice, you become supernatural. When you become supernatural, you are now a conduit for God's dreams to come to become reality. So I need to take my efforts and any work that I do, not for self-preservation, not for deliverance,
right,
not to protect myself, but to obey God's voice.
Yes.
Because when Jesus died, I was delivered. When Jesus died, I was preserved. When Jesus died, I became protected. So since I'm already delivered, I'm already preserved, I'm already protected, that means I need to take my work, my energy, my efforts, and focus on what he wants. Is this making sense? See, this is why maturity has to take place, because there are some things that God wants to do with you that he can't do with nobody else. There's some things that God want to use you to do that he hadn't assigned nobody else to do. And it's the fivefold job to train you to recognize it and have the confidence to walk out and do it.
Yes, sir.
Do you see how we've been trapped under the pastoral model? Expecting the person next to us to do it. Expecting the person over there, the person that we deem super spiritual, the person that we deem to be deep. When it's actually you God wants to use. When it's actually you that God wants to do the miraculous through. It's actually you that God wants to perform the gifts through. But I have to realize that I am a vessel. I'm not just somebody put on this earth trying to survive. Listen, I'm telling you, when you begin to take your efforts and your energies, and instead of you trying to confess it to pass, to come to pass, confessing, that's you trying to make it come to pass. You know, confessions are not for God.
No.
I keep saying the confessions, we made it seem like it was God. Take the word of God and speak the word of God back to him, and God already knows what he said.
Yeah.
He said it.
Right.
He already knows what he said, the word of God, and confessions are to renew our mind.
Yeah.
Why is our mind ought to be renewed? So that we can prove or recognize what God is actually saying to us. See, the world system is always trying to get you to acquiesce to their narrative, to their thought process, to how they think about things. But that's why the word of God has been given to us, so that we can renew our minds, so we don't conform. We don't acquiesce. We don't yield to their way of thinking. We're able to rise above their way of thinking. We're able to see things that they can't see, because we are renewing our mind with the word of God. We are agitating our thoughts. That's why seeking him first is important. That's why diligently seeking him is important, because it agitates your thoughts. Like a washing machine agitates your clothes to wash the dirt off. The word of God agitates your thoughts. In other words, the word of God, when you meditate, God is simply saying, I need you to get your mind right. I need you to get your mind right. I need you to get it. I need you to stop feeling this way. I need you to stop feeling like you're in despair. I need you to stop feeling like you're failing. I need you to stop feeling like you're not going to make it. That can't happen unless I renew my mind with the word of God. When I renew my mind, and then watch this. Sometimes you just going to have to flat foot stir yourself up. You can't wait till nobody else stir you up. You can't wait till nobody else do it. David, the Bible says David encouraged himself. He encouraged himself. What he did, he took the word of God. He took what God had told him, and he began to repeat it to himself. Man, Abraham, go to Romans 14. Watch what he said. Watch what Abraham did. See, this is what you got to do. Watch what Abraham, go to Romans, the fourth chapter. Watch this, Romans, the fourth chapter. This is what confession does. This is confession from an apostolic point of view, what it's supposed to do. All right, are you listening? Look at let's first start at verse 16. Therefore, it is of faith that it might be by grace. You see that? It might be by grace, meaning you're in power. To the end, the promise might be sure to all the seed, not to that only which is of the law, but to also that which is of faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. As it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations, before him whom he believed, even God, who quickeneth the dead and calleth those things that be not as though they were, who against hope believed in hope that he might become the father of many nations, according to that which was spoken. 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 In other words, Abraham had God talk to him directly.
Yes.
And that's what he stood on.
Right.
See, what people don't realize, the Logos leads you to Rhema.
Yes, sir.
See, we've been trying to take the Logos and solve issues. The Logos leads you to Rhema.
Yep.
To which, watch this, who against hope believed in hope that he might become the father of the nation according to which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. Watch this, verse 19, and being not weak in faith, being not weak in faith. You know what it meant, not being weak in faith? A lot of y'all think that's just trust and believing. No, he wasn't weak, what meaning he knew what to do.
Right.
Meaning he knew what to do. He trusted God. He believed God. But he also knew what to do. So all those things put together had him not weak in faith. There are people who believe God. They trust in God. But they don't know what to do. Why they don't know what to do? Because they don't spend time with him. Or if they spend time with him, it's a monologue. They doing all the talking.
Yeah.
It ain't no dialogue where God can come talk to them and say, no, I don't want you to say that no more. This is what I want you to start saying.
Yeah.
Being not weak in faith. In other words, he trusted God. He believed what God said, but he knew what God wanted him to do. And being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead. When he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb, he staggered not at the promises of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith. Why do you think he was strong in faith? Because once he found out what God wanted him to do, he kept rehearsing it to himself. He wasn't rehearsing it to God. He was rehearsing it to himself, which kept his mind renewed. So that when God was able to tell him the next step, he was able to receive the next step. See, if you don't have your mind renewed, God can be talking to you and you don't even know it. You can't even recognize his voice. So that's why your efforts should not be trying to take the word of God and solve your problems, but take the word of God and let it work on you.
Yes.
Because when it work on you and your thoughts, that means the air is now clear to where you can perceive and receive what God wants you to do. How many see what I'm saying? See, this is what the pulpit is supposed to be training you to do. The pulpit is training you how to spend time with God, how to be able to connect to his agenda so that God can let you discover from him what you're called to do so that you can do the work of the ministry so the body of Christ can be built. How many see this? He staggered not at the promises of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God and being fully persuaded fully persuaded. Who you think has something to do with him being fully persuaded? Him. Nobody has control over your mind but you. Nobody has control over your mind but you. So if you're going to be fully persuaded about something, it's going to be because you put forth the effort to be fully persuaded. Nobody else can't do that for you. Nobody else can't cause you to be fully persuaded. Only you can cause yourself to be fully persuaded. And he took the word of God and what God had told him and kept rehearsing it to himself. So he became fully persuaded. Notice he didn't put forth effort. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Abraham is a prime example of when you try to have self-effort. When you try to have self-effort, thank you, Holy Spirit. When you take the word of God and you try to take the word of God and solve your problems, you will get an Ishmael. When you try to take the word of God and you try to solve your problems, you're going to have an Ishmael.
That's good.
God told him in that 14th and that 15th chapter, I'm going to give you a son. But he was impatient. And so he tried to take what God had said to him and tried to make it happen himself and gave himself a world of trouble. They still fighting today because of what he did. When you take your efforts and the word of God, and let the word of God work on you rather than your problems, your issues are going to automatically be dealt with. Amen. That's one of the things we missed. So you can't love the Lord your God with all the heart, all our soul, if you split minded, if you double minded. You got to be focused. So what Satan has been trying to do is get us to take the word of God and focus on our problems. And so we get back into self-righteousness. I'm going to take the word of God and make this happen. That's all Abraham did. Tried to take the word of God and make it happen. Did it happen? Yeah. But it came with some problems. Instead of letting the word of God work on you, and let God express himself through you. When you allow God to express himself through you, everything, the essence, the presence, the power, the peace of God comes with obedience. And everything around you begin to iron itself out. You ain't got to lift the iron. You ain't got to turn the iron on. All the wrinkles gonna just disappear. Because the Holy Spirit going to be there ironing your stuff out. You ain't got time to iron because you're too busy focusing on what God has called you to do. So you let the Holy Spirit. Now, Matthew 6, it says, which one of you, by taking one thought, can add one cubit to your stature?
Yeah.
The problem was already there. And there was nothing you could do to change it on your own power. It was already there. Matter of fact, you keep making it worse. So why focus on it? That's the trick of the enemy to get you to focus on your problems. But if I take my energy and focus on what God wants, instead of asking God, okay, what about this problem? Say, okay, God, there ain't nothing I can do about that. God, what you want me to do? Who you want to minister to next? How you want to use me next? And a miraculous thing will happen. God will begin to use you and begin to solve that at the same time.
Right.
You ain't put forth no effort. You ain't put forth no energy on that. And God dealt with it. All your energy is being used on for what he wants. And guess what he say? He'll renew your energy. He'll renew your strength.
Right.
So you're constantly getting a renewing of your strength because you use your efforts on what he wants. And he's taking care of all this other stuff.
Yes.
Need you to come out of the pastoral model. trying to use the word of God to solve your issues. And you begin to use the word of God, let him work on you so that he can be expressed through you. How many understood that tonight?
Yes, sir.
Praise God.